you respond when someone mistreats you? If someone is unkind to you, are you tempted to respond in the same way? To say they deserve it and to give it back to them? In the years in the 1800s, there was this feud that broke out between two families that no one really knows why it started. Some think it might have started over a land dispute. Some think it might have started over someone in the family that was taken by somebody else. And there's even some that people think it was started by a hog, over a dispute over a hog and the markings on the ears. But these two families end up feuding. One lived on one side of Kentucky border. The other lived on the West Virginia side of the border. And they fought for years, many of the family killing each other of opposite sides and deserving, and went on for years. In fact, members of each family who feuded said they deserve the revenge. They deserve to get revenge on each other. If you remember what I'm talking about, it's a famous legendary feud between the Hatfields and the McCoys. The Hatfields of West Virginia and the McCoys who lived in Kentucky. And that feud became legendary in history, and it lived on and went on for years of two sides fighting back and forth and feuding with each other just because they were a member of an opposite family. And that feuding and that anger and that vengeance and that desire to get even went deep within them, and they could not let it go, and they could not release it. There's something within all of us that has a desire that when someone mistreats us, we just want to give it right back to them. Whatever they do to us, we want to do to them and give it back to them. But as we look at David's life, David had an opportunity for that very thing to do, to repay evil for evil in a time in his life. Now remember, he had been running from Saul. In this page of his life, he's still running from Saul. Saul is hunting him down, trying to kill him. We see as the chapter opened up, that now Saul took 3,000 of the chosen of the army, 3,000 of his best soldiers, armed for the purpose of trying to hunt Saul, David down and kill him. We know that David had done nothing wrong against Saul. He was loyal to him, had served him faithfully, and he finds himself being unjustly treated, unjustly hunted down, running from place to place to save his very life. By the time we get to chapter 24, David is hiding in a cave in En-Gedi. And he's hiding in the back of this cave to stay safe from Saul. And we had seen last week his hiding from the cave and what God had taught him there. But he's hiding in the back of the cave. And while he's hiding in the cave, the scripture is very practical. It doesn't miss anything. And it's very practical in how it shares with life. And it tells us that while David is hiding in the cave, King Saul came into the very cave that David was hiding in for the purpose, it says, to relieve himself. In other words, nature called a time for him to take care of business. So we have the king on pursuit of David. Nature called, and he goes into the cave to take care of his business, and he happens to be in the very cave. And here he is, picture this, squatting where David is there hiding with his sword in hand. The king in a very vulnerable position. David in the place, definitely having the advantage over him at this point. Now, if you would have been in that position, being hunted down by the king and your enemy is delivered right to you in a vulnerable position, would you feel, this is the time I am going to let him have it? After all, he deserves it, right? And his men encouraged him and said, David, the Lord has given you this opportunity. This is the time. Take action. Kill him. Put yourself in that position. Now's the time. This is what you've been waiting for. But David didn't do that. He slipped up behind him, and he cut off a part of his robe. Now picture this, and the king goes out. He's missing part of his robe back here. That's kind of humorous, isn't it? And he goes out that after he did that, the Bible says in verse 5 that he was stricken in his conscience, and David knew, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have thought of trying to get even. So from the scripture this morning, We're going to discover when we are mistreated, we can learn from David's life how we should respond. David's response here gives us two practical ways on how we can respond when we are mistreated by others too. And the first one is, when mistreated by others, respond with good, not evil. The man in verse 4 said to David, "This is the day the Lord spoke of. I will give your enemy into your hands. This is it. Take your sword, kill him." And it would have been easy for David to take the sword and to kill Saul in that position. He was vulnerable. But David succumbed to the temptation of that desire within him to get even. He wanted to do something. So as we saw, he cut off the corner of his robe. When we are mistreated by others, there's something within us, as I mentioned, that wants to get even, wants to fight back, wants to let people have it. When someone pulls our hair, we want to give it back to them. Two kids, when they're fighting and it escalates, they say, "Well, he started it. Remember that? He started it," and back and forth it goes. And when we have that kind of behavior and that desire to get even, it's because there's something within us in the flesh. And in order to respond with good and not evil, we need to deny the flesh. Because the flesh wants to give it back. And when we're operating in the flesh, we can either operate in the flesh controlling our life or in the spirit. But when we are operating in the flesh, as David did at this one moment, when he reached out his hand and took off part of the robe of Saul, it wasn't a major thing, but still, he had that desire within him to bring vengeance. And there's something within us when we have a desire to bring vengeance or to get even or to harm somebody that's harmed us. That comes from the flesh desire within us. And when we're not spirit-filled, we're going to have that raging within us. We're going to want to bring evil. And when we operate in the flesh, we'll become bitter. And that bitterness and resentment will well up in what the person did to us. And that bitterness will soon consume us. And we won't be able to get over it. And say, "Well, yeah, I was treated unjustly." And we were. And there's times all of our lives were treated unjustly. People say things mean to us all the time. Every one of us have probably have people said things that to us that were hurtful, that brought pain and wound. And people are unjust and unkind to us. And how we respond to them, we can let them have it back, or we can respond with the Spirit. But when we respond in the flesh, that bitterness is going to eat away at us. And it's going to rob us of our joy. It's not going to, that joy that the Lord wants us to bring in, that bitterness will just continue to grow. The Bible says, don't let a root of bitterness get in our heart, because that root of bitterness there becomes a poison in our spirit. We'll become bitter. We'll also want to seek to get even. We'll want to do what we've been done to us. And we'll have that desire. If someone is unkind to us, we're going to give them back because we say, after all, they deserve it. "You don't know what they did to me," we say. And David had that desire to get even, and it was sparked by the men, by his companions. It said, "Go ahead, David, do it. He deserves it. He's treating you wrongly. Go ahead, let him have it." And when we're operating in the flesh, guys, we're going to have that desire to get even, to do what someone did to us. We want to give it back to them and worse. Because the flesh is calling the shots at that point in our life, but not the spirit. We're not operating under Christ's control. And you say, "But Dan, it's easy to say that." Yeah, but we've all been there. This is something we all struggle with. And when the spirit, the flesh is in control, we'll want to respond in kind. With whatever someone did to us, we want to give it back to them and worse. Look what Jesus said. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 27. Jesus said, "But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you." Boy, that is not easy. Whoever said living the Christian life is easy doesn't know what it's about to follow Jesus, does it? It is not easy to bless people who curse us. It is not easy to pray for people who mistreat us. But yet, that's the words of Christ. He said, if someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks of you, and whoever takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. And do to others as you would have them do unto you. That's been called the golden rule. But the rule of living, Jesus says, do to others as we would want them to do to us. Treat others the way we want to be treated. The world says, do to others like they do to you. Do to others as they do to you, right? So if someone is how they treat you, you treat them back in kind and worse. But Jesus says, no, you treat others the way you want to be treated by them. How can we do that? We can only do that under the power of the Spirit, right? Because our flesh wants so much desperately to get even. Our flesh wants vengeance. Our flesh wants justice. Our flesh wants them to get everything they deserve and more. But yet, through Christ and Him in control, we can have it. Jesus goes on to say, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even the sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? He said, if you're only good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And he said, if you lend to those whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies and do good to them and lend to them without expecting anything back. Then your reward will be great and you'll be sons of the Most High. Because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. So when we're operating the flesh, we will respond in kind. Also, when we're operating the flesh, we will justify our actions. And David's men tried to justify David's act of revenge here. He said, God has delivered him into your hands. It's just a small thing. Go ahead. He deserves it after all. And when we're operating in the flesh, we're going to justify when we treat somebody wrongly. We say, well, after all, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know what they said about me. You don't know how to understand, Dan, what they did to me. No, I don't, but God does. But we try to justify it and say, they deserve it after all. And when we're operating in the flesh, we will rationalize our sin. And we will try to give a reason why it's okay. The men tried to persuade David that this was God's will for him to kill Saul and take his place. It wasn't this time. God was going to bring it about in his own way and the proper time. But they were trying to convince David, you know, this is God's will for you. And tried to rationalize it. And we'll try to rationalize our wrong behavior at times and our responses when we're operating in the flesh and not in the Spirit. And we'll say, but you don't understand, Dan, how much my spouse frustrates me. You don't understand what they did. And we try to rationalize, and we all do it. And when we do that, we're operating in the flesh and not the Spirit's control. David took action because he was operating in the flesh for that moment. But look at verse 5. Something changed. In verse 5, soon as he took this act seeking revenge, seeking to get even with Saul, even though it was a small way, he still sought to get even with him. Afterwards, it says David was what? He was conscience stricken for having just cut off the corner of the robe. It wasn't anything major. We say it wasn't a big deal. But he still took his hand against the king. He still had a desire to harm him. And he still reached out against God's anointed. And he was conscience stricken by the Lord and by the Spirit. Which brings us to listening to the Spirit. How can we return good instead of evil? We need to listen to the Spirit and deny the flesh. And listen to His voice as He speaks and leads to us through His Word. For when we operate in the Spirit, And when we are operating in the Spirit, we will seek righteousness and not revenge. We will seek to do what God wants us to do and seek that. Notice what David said. Afterwards, David was conscience-stricken for having cut off the corner of his robe, and he said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed." He said, "I was wrong. The Lord forbid that I should do something like this because he's the Lord's anointed. And lift my hand against him because he is anointed of the Lord." And with these words, David rebuked his men and did not allow them to attack Saul. And David left the cave. And Saul left the cave and went on his way. When we listen to the Spirit, we will seek righteousness and not revenge. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. And you say, "But Dan, how can we do this?" Well, the only way we can do it is let the Spirit control us. Because our flesh wants to get even. We want to get even so bad. But when we listen to the Spirit, he enables us to do what is right. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse beginning of chapter 2. Chapter 2, beginning of verse 18. Through 23, says, "Submit yourselves to your masters with all respect." He's talking about slaves here, "not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. And to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. And when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate when he suffered. He made no threats. Instead, he trusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins and his body on the tree, that we might die to our sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds. You were healed." He said, look at Jesus and his example. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate or fight back, but he left himself into the hands of God. How can we do that? The only way is under the power of the Spirit. Romans chapter 12, Paul says, "Do not repay evil for evil. Do not repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of fire on his head. But do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good." Listen to the Spirit, seek righteousness, not revenge, and we will trust God to make it right. David here trusted the Lord. If you go down to verse 11, when he finally speaks to Saul, he said, "Understand." He said, "See, my father, I took this piece of robe in my hand and I cut it off, but I did not kill you. Now understand and recognize that I am not guilty of any wrongdoing." Then in verse 12, he says, "May the Lord judge between me and you, and may the Lord avenge the wrongs that you have done to me, but my hand will not touch you." And he says, verse 15, "May the Lord our judge judge between us. May he consider my cause and uphold it. May he vindicate me by delivering me from your hand." And when we're operating under the Spirit, we'll trust God to make it right. We'll trust that God will deal with that person, and the Lord is able to deal with someone better than us. And he will make it right at the proper time. And David trusted God to do that. He said, "He will avenge me. He'll set it right. He'll set the record right in his time, and I'm going to leave it into his hands." And we can only do that when we're listening to the Spirit, because we want to do it now. So when mistreated by others, respond with good, not evil. That's not easy, but it can only be done when we're operating in the Spirit. And when mistreated by others, confront the offender and release the person to God. Notice what David did after this incident was over. It says that Saul went out of the cave in verse 9 and went on his way in verse 7. And David then called out of the cave to Saul. And he called after him. Saul didn't even know he was in there. And we could have said, well, David just could have let him go. But he didn't. He called out to Saul and he said, Saul, and he held up the piece of robe that he had cut off. He said, I had a chance to kill you. And he said, you treated me wrongly. You treated me wrongly, and I have not done anything against you. And I had a chance to kill you. And here's the proof. And I am not harming you. I'm letting God deal with you. And he confronted him. Now, we need to understand from the scripture here that when someone mistreats us, yes, where Jesus said we're to turn the other cheek, we're to forgive, but that does not mean that we let people get away with it or walk all over us. It does not mean that we let people live or continue on in the wrongdoing that they're doing against us. Now, that's an area I got to confess to you I struggle with. I'm pretty good at when someone says something unkind to me or harsh, I can take it, and I'll take it, and I'll let people hurl whatever they want to at me, but I have a hard time sticking up for myself and confronting when someone's wrong. You ever been in that place? And when someone does mistreat you, we still are bound, according to Scripture, to let them know that they've crossed the line, to let them know that they've wronged you and they've wronged God, and what they did was not right. And David did that. He went to Saul and he said, what you did and how you're treating me is not right. I am not retaliating against you. I am forgiving you, but yet you have treated me wrongly. And he confronted the sin and pointed it out. And that's what God wants us to do, to let that know. And so how do we do that? By honestly sharing the truth. And that's what David did in verses 10, 8 through 10. He said, why do you listen to what men saying? David is bent on harming you. This day you have seen with your own eyes how the Lord delivered you into my hands in the cave. And some urged me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, I will not lift up my hand against my master because he is the Lord's anointed. He said, I have not wronged you. And he honestly shared the truth. And when someone wrongs you and mistreats you, if you have an opportunity, don't retaliate, don't seek to get even, but let them know that they've done wrong. In a loving way, confront them and let them know they've done the truth. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse 15. Jesus says, if a brother sins against you, if someone mistreats you or sins against you, go and show him his fault. Just between who? Just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you've won your brother over. But what do we do when we're hurt by somebody? Because oftentimes we're operating in the flesh. We have a desire to get even and get back at them. But second, we'll go and tell somebody else. And we'll let everybody else know what that person did to us, right? But we won't go to the person and let them know how they've offended us. But Jesus says, go to the person who offended us and honestly share the truth. And that's what David did. And then demonstrate godly integrity. Look at verses 11 through 15, 11 through 17. David said, I am going to entrust you into the hands of God. I'm going to let God judge between us. God will set it right. And verse 16 says, when David finished saying this, Saul said, is that your voice, David, my son? And he wept aloud, and he said, you are more righteous than I. He said, you have treated me well, but I have treated you badly. And David responded and demonstrated integrity that even though he was being treated badly, he was treated Saul well. And he showed integrity because he was a man after his own heart. Nowhere can our evidence be seen that you and I are a person after God's own heart. Nowhere can that integrity be seen better than when we treat somebody well who treats us wrongly. When we demonstrate integrity, Christ-like integrity, and show them God's love in the midst of it. And David did. And Saul recognized that and said, you're a far better man than me. He said, you treated me well when I treated you rotten. And that demonstrating of the integrity. Also, show an attitude of forgiveness. Look at verses 20 to 22. David, in treating Saul this way and in confronted him, but he was willing to forgive. Saul realized his error, and he said in verse 20, he said, I know that you will surely be king and that the kingdom is for Israel will be established in your hands. Now swear to me by the Lord that you will not cut off my descendants or wipe out my name from my father's family. Saul knew that David was going to be the next king. And he also knew that it was the custom of a king, when they would come in, that they would completely wipe out and destroy all the members of that dynasty so that there would be no rivals in to their power. And Saul asked David, he said, please show me a favor and show kindness to me and don't destroy my family. Show kindness to my family. And David was willing to do that. He was willing to show forgiveness. And he had that releasing of showing forgiveness to him and released it. And then let God do his work. As David confronted Saul and shared with him his wrongdoing, he left it there. And we see that Saul was convicted. He wept. He was convicted and he realized that he had done wrong. And he admitted that to David. He said, you're better than me. I've done wrong. I have treated you wrongly. And he let God do his work. The scripture says, vengeance is the Lord's. He will repay. He will bring it about. He will do it in his time. God has a far better way of taking care of the injustice against us than we do. He has a far better way of working in people's hearts and bringing to that point of repentance. So we've seen this story. When mistreated by others, respond with good, not evil. That's not easy to do unless the Spirit's in control. And when mistreated by others, confront the offender and then release that person to God and let God do his work. So what's that mean for our life? How do we apply it? Getting it off the scripture into our very life, because this is in the relationships where we live. We all have people that mistreat us. Maybe sometimes even our spouse, our family doesn't. It can be people in the church sometimes. It can be people we don't even know. But we all have those times when we are mistreated by others. And we want to retaliate and we want to turn it in kind. What do we do? How do we apply it? What do we learn? Paul says, if possible, as much as depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And Saul, David could not control Saul's response, but he could control his own. And when he confronted him, he let it up to the Lord to deal in his heart. And it's the same with someone else. We can't control what somebody else can do, but we can control our response to it. And as far as depends on us, to live in peace with others. So what do we do? What's two practical takeaways for our life? Well, the first one is this. Don't get even. Forgive. When we have that desire to get even and say he deserves it, and after all, they probably do. They deserve getting even. But don't we deserve judgment too? God, in his grace and mercy, gave us what we did not deserve. And that's what mercy is, not receiving what we deserve. We all deserved his judgment. But God in his grace gave us mercy, gave us grace. Aren't you thankful? And does not give us what we deserve. And we can respond and say, yes, let them have what they deserve. Or we can be like Christ-like and forgive. We can only do that under the power of the Spirit. Don't get even, but forgive. The second thing is don't play God. Let him judge. When we go to take vengeance, when we go to seek and get even, we are trying to take the place of God. The scripture says, vengeance is mine. It belongs to the Lord. He will repay. He will bring about justice in his time. And when we seek to take it, we're playing God. And we cannot be God. Not do it near as good as him. Let God execute justice in his time. Let God deal with that person. He will bring them to account someday. He will make it right. Just release them to him. Let God handle it. As it says in Romans, we're heaping coals on their head. Well, he said, when someone is kind to you, show kind. When someone is mean to you, show kindness back. When I was in seminary, my professor, the late, great Dr. David Dorsey, who was a great man of God, taught us how to interpret the scripture, especially the Old Testament. And one of the things he taught us was when we're looking to a portion of scripture, especially narrative like this, and how to apply to our life. There's certain things we need to look for. And one was, he said, always look for a sin to avoid. And as we read this passage together, it makes it very clear what the sin is that God is calling us and instructing us to avoid. And that is revenge, of seeking to get even, of seeking to give back to people what they've done to us, of treating people mean when they treating them harsh when they've treated us that way. So the sin to avoid that God's calling us to this morning is revenge and retaliation. And whenever we are tempted to revenge and retaliate, we're operating in the flesh and we're not operating under the Spirit's control. The example to follow is that of forgiveness, is to forgive those who don't deserve it, to forgive those who've wronged us, as Jesus himself has done for us. And what we learn about God is that vengeance belongs to him and only to him. He will repay. He will make it right in his time, and trust him. So how do we respond when mistreated by others? We can let them have it, or we can let them put them in the hands of God and let God work with them and deal with them. From the life of David, as we're continuing to learn to be a person after God's own heart, we are called to respond as he did under the leadership of the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word because it is very practical to us. Every one of us in our relationships with people, we can't escape it because we all are relationships with people. Are times when we will be mistreated, when people will be unkind to us, when people will say mean things to us or things that hurt us or treat us wrongly. And Lord, we so much want to get even. We so much want to get back at them. And that comes from the flesh within us. And we can't deny it. It's there. It's real. We feel it. David had it. He struggled with it. We all do. It's that cry for vengeance, and it's that cry for, it's not fair. And it's part of the sin nature that's in the world and in our heart. And when we operate under that control, we are going to respond in a way that's not pleasing to you. But if we want to be men and women after your heart, we need to listen to the Spirit and not the flesh. And as you call us, Lord, to respond in a way that is Christ-like, as you respond and call us to respond to forgive and to release that person to God, but then confront them in love, not let them get off the hook, but let you deal with them. Confront them and lovingly point out where they've done, where they've offended us, but then release them to God and let you work in their heart and bring them to that point. So, Father, help us not get even, but put them in your hands and trust you. Help us to learn what it means to be men and women after your heart, living in a way that pleases you. And nothing is more practical than our relationships that we have every day. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. As we close this morning, our closing hymn, number 107, as we go back to our Christmas in July for the last for the part here, 107, Go Tell It on the Mountain. The good news of God's love and God's grace for all people. Let's stand together.